It is my joy. Maligayang pagdating. Mabuhay. It is my great joy to be with you this morning to share the joy of worshiping the Lord together. I thank God for Pastor Chuck and his wife Liz and the whole family. I have been corresponding with him before, but first time to meet him last Sunday afternoon together with his wife. And then from that time on, for the next few days, we were together interacting with different leaders in this country and then also in Palestine, and asking that the favor of God will be upon the ministry of evangelical alliances, not only in Israel, also in Palestine, among the Arab Israeli community. And I marvel at what God is doing through the leadership of Pastor Chuck as chairman of the Evangelical Alliance here in Israel. And even with some health challenges, we see him up and about, active. And last Wednesday from Jerusalem, we drove all the way to Megiddo and then to Nazareth and then around the Lake of Galilee back to Jordan up to here. And one thing that we really appreciate is not only his heart for the ministry, but the nuggets of wisdom that God has given him. And then the little insights that time and time again he speaks. And so whenever I have something to ask, inquiry, he is the person to go to. And I thank God that he has given him to be the leader, not only of the church here in Narkis, but also for the Evangelical Alliance here in Israel. And I thank God for the opportunity of being with you and this family of God right here. Well, my wife and I have been in Israel for several times, but this is my most meaningful time because this is time of having interaction with not only political leaders, but Christian leaders as well as ordinary believers. And Daniel, I enjoyed also the time that we had together. And I like your courage when we were talking with the leader of the Palestinian Authority about the recognition of evangelicals in Palestine. And they say they have to defer and wait for the other leaders of the other groups. And they say, but you are the government here, and you have to make the decision. You don't have to wait for them. So thank you for that courage. Again, I take joy in being with you here. Now, I don't know if my PowerPoint will work, but if not, we will continue. And thank you for trying to work it out. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah 54. I will not take the time to read this whole section. Isaiah 54 verses 1 to 17. And we want to see here how we can trust God for our future. Trusting God for our future. In this passage of the scripture, we see that in order for us to ensure good future, we need to look to God by faith. God has promised a good future for every one of us. Personal life, family life, even ministry, business, and even for the whole nation, God has promised a good future for us. The question is, how can we have this good future? Just like the people of Israel during the time of the prophet Isaiah, in the midst of problems and difficulties, they were encouraged by the prophet Isaiah to move on forward by faith. And in Isaiah 54, I want us to see here five guidelines, five prescriptions that the prophet Isaiah gave on how we can enjoy the good future and how we can make make the best of what is ahead. And I want to use the acrostic FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to be to give us a basic outline of the five guidelines, the five prescriptions on how we can enjoy the good future. First of all, verses 1 to 4, in order for us to enjoy the good future, we need to forget our past setbacks. Here, the people of Israel are called sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. What we see here is that the nation of Israel has the reproach of being barren, being a widow. And in this context, in this culture, you know that if you are a barren, a woman that does not give birth to a child, then you are neglected, deserted, and that's the reproach. And also being widow is also a point of being reproached. But at that point, God told the people of Israel in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let your curtains of habitation stretch out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And then God is calling them to really spread out. In the midst of such problems, in the midst of such challenges and difficulties, God told them, don't dwell in your problems. Don't dwell in your past. He says, fear not. Be not ashamed. For you will not be confounded, you will not be disgraced. And God says you will spread out to the right and to the left. And you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood, you will remember no more. The lesson that we have here is that our past problems, as well as failures, should not hinder our progress today. Our past problems and failures should not hinder our progress today. I had a major setback in my life. I came from a very, maybe my family, my parents are like Jewish. They have 14 children, you know. So we are seven brothers, seven sisters. I'm glad they didn't stop at having 12 children, because if they have only a dozen children, I will not be here. I'm number 13 in the family. The first 10 years of my life was doing good because my father was alive. But when I was 10 years old, my father had a heart attack, and in 1 week he's gone. My mother is a very godly mother, and I thank God for her. And because of her faith and her prayers, the Lord has preserved us as a family. However, she was not able to handle the family business. And in 1 year, our family business closed down. Well, if you are taking care of baby every other year, and if you have 14, that's 28 years of your life. 28 years of her life taking care actively of new baby. And so when my father died, she was not prepared to take over the family business. So that after that, year after year, I have to transfer from one school to another, from the city to the rural area, to the province, back to the city, year after year. No, I was not kicked out. That's not the problem. But if there is an older sister, relative, or somebody who will be willing to take me for 1 year, that's where I go. I was having some difficulty year after year, having to transfer. But my mother says, don't give up, son. God has a beautiful future for us and for you. That setback, that problem should not define our future. And we should not dwell on the failures and problems, just like the people of Israel. Sing, O barren woman. You have to enlarge, you have to stretch, you will move to the right and to the left. And God says, forget your past setbacks. Don't let your problems and failures hinder you from your future. Now, this nation of Israel is a nation that has gone through a lot of problems, challenges, and difficulties. And yet, see what God has done in this nation. Lesson number one, forget our past setbacks. Number two, verses 5 and 6, In order for us to enjoy the good future, letter A in our acrostic faith, we need to appropriate the power of God or God's power. Look at verse 5 and 6. You will spread out, you will move, and you will increase. Why? For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. You can see the five descriptions of who God is. He is our maker. Not only is he our maker, he is called the Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty is the one who is with us. Our God is the Holy One of Israel. We see him as the Holy One of Israel. We see him also described as the Redeemer, the one and the God of all the earth. The five descriptions of God shows that this God is the God that we can rely on, that the God that we can trust, and the God that we see here is the God of immense power and overflowing grace. And nothing is impossible with him. I remember as a young boy, after transferring from one school after another, one day I told my mom, "Mom, I want to quit. I want to stop studying. I don't want to transfer from one school after another. I don't have a good future." But my mom said, "No, God has a future for you." She brought me to a gathering, and in that gathering, I came to know another father. No. My mother did not marry another man. No man would marry a widow with 14 children. But in that gathering, she brought me, and I was attracted to that preacher who was describing that the son who will be born, and his name shall be called, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. When I heard that word Everlasting Father, I said, "I want to know that person. And I came forward. And that evening, somebody counseled me, and I came to know Jesus as my Everlasting Father. I came to know Jesus as described in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Not only as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, but Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And since the time that I came to know Jesus as my Everlasting Father, I have seen how he has taken care of me. I have seen how he has sustained me. And because he is the God of immense power, nothing is impossible with him. We can forget our past setbacks because we can appropriate the power of God in our lives. The third prescription that the prophet Isaiah gave in verse 7 to 10, how we can enjoy the good future ahead of us, letter I in our acrostic faith, is we need to invoke the promises of God. Look at verses 7 to 10. Verses 7 to 10, he says, "For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn I will not be angry with you, and I will not rebuke you." Look at verse 10. "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Our God is described as the covenant-keeping God, a compassionate God. So like the sign of that rainbow. In Genesis chapter 9, whenever you see that rainbow, it's the promise of God that I will not flood this earth again. And you can take my word. And God told that to Noah, just like he says, just like what I have sworn to Noah, my promises will be with you. Look at verse 10. The promises of God. He says, though the mountains, the promise of God, though the mountains be shaken, God's unfailing love will not be shaken, and his covenant of peace will not be moved. What are the promises of God that we can take hold in our lives today? You know, there are many times that we feel discouraged, we feel down, and we are threatened from many problems around us, but we can count on the promises of God. As I was growing spiritually in my, after I have come to know Jesus as the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, then my boyhood ambition was changed. When I was a boy, I wanted to become a lawyer. You know, sounds alike, but sometimes I have a problem. But we have very good lawyers, and I thank God for lawyers. I wanted to become a lawyer. I wanted to become a politician. But as I was growing spiritually, God has placed upon my heart the burden to be able to serve Him out of gratitude for what He has done. And I said, God, how do I know that You are really calling me? John 15:16 was the verse that God gave me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Fruit that will remain. And then I said, God, how do I know that this verse is for me? That I did not choose you, but you chose me. Then the last part of the verse says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. I said, God, if this verse is for me and if you have called me, I just ask you to provide for my study in the seminary if I want to go to be trained. So that was just before I finished my high school. So I inquired from the seminary. They sent me the application. I immediately answered all the questions and the essay questions until the last question. Last question is, who will support you? I stopped a moment. I said, oh, I didn't realize they asked this question. So I cannot answer the question. I tried to ask from other partners, friends, but they were not ready to provide. So I said, that's it, Lord. You have not called me because you do not provide. Remember that elementary and high school, I was having a difficulty transferring from one school after another. Now in college, I have to see how God will provide. So after working, I said, there's no way because I cannot answer. One morning, I was reading again the scripture, and God said, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God says, your problem is you always want to be sure. I want you to step out in faith and take my word, take my promise. And so I look again for my application paper and dusted off some of the dust because they have accumulated already some dust. And I wrote there, God will provide. Sent it to the school. The rest of the summer, I work as a gasoline attendant, helping in whatever way I can save money for my transportation. Came enrollment day, I went to the school. I was met by the registrar, and the registrar said, we have received your application, and you are approved. Wow, I said, wow. But she said, please come in to my office because I have to clarify some things. Please sit down. And she said, what do you mean the Lord will provide? I almost responded by saying, I thought you know that. But I said, no, I don't have any means. I was orphaned by my father early in life. I don't have any means to support. I'm ready to work, any kind of work. The rest I'm trusting God to provide. She said, you better go to the dean. I went to the dean, and the dean of that seminary asked me a very spiritual question. And that is, how much money do you have? Very spiritual, right? I said, this is a seminary, and the first question he asks is, how much money do you have? Well, during that time, maybe I have like, 20 pesos. And how much is 20 pesos? 2 shekels. I have 2 shekels in my pocket. And I said, I don't have any means. I'm willing to work. I'm trusting God for the rest. She said, you better go to the business manager. I said, what's happening here? I sat down, and again, very spiritual. The business manager said, what can you do? I said, well, at least I was prepared. I can do any manual work. The rest, I'm trusting God to provide. Then he said, you better go to the cashier. God, what is happening here? All questions, no answers. And I was slowly walking down the corridor, going to the cashier. And the cashier, without even looking at me, says, "Give me your class cards." And she got my class cards and stamped on my class card, paid. Paid. On that day, after all of those spiritual questions that I have received, then it was paid. I didn't know who paid during that time. But I knew it was God who did it. You see, sometimes we can question, will God really provide? Will God really take care of us? There are so much promises of God that we can claim. But our problem at times is we are ignorant of such promises. That's why we need to have the reading of God's Word, the reading of the Torah, the reading of the prophets, the reading of the Gospels, the epistles. We need the Word of God so that we can really invoke the promises that God has given to us, so we can move forward. The fourth prescription that the prophet Isaiah gave to the people of Israel. Number one, we need to forget our past setbacks. Then letter A, we need to appropriate the power of God. Then we need to invoke the promises of God. And now number four, we need to trust the plan of God. Trust the plan of God. Verses 11 to 14. The prophet continued on to say, "O afflicted one, storm tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate and your gates of carbuncles, and all your walls of precious stones." Verse 13. "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and far from terror, for it shall not come near you." God says, "I have a beautiful plan for your life, and there is a glorious future for the people of God." The nation of Israel, that was once afflicted and destroyed, will become a place of beauty, peace, and of righteousness. They were put into exile, but God says, "I will regather you. I will bring you back." Now, this nation of Israel, you are standing and you are actually in the place where you see the manifestation of how God fulfilled the nation of Israel, this land that was deserted. Not only during the time of Babylon in 586 BC, but in 70 AD when this nation was destroyed. But then see now what has happened to this nation. And God says in verse 12 that I will make you the foundations and the gates made of precious stones. We receive that gift that has all the different stones in the Holy Land. This is a land that is filled with so much precious gems, stones. And God says, "I have a good future for you. I have the plan for you." See, in your life, in my life, to my fellow Filipinos, you are saying, "Why am I suffering here? Why am I sacrificing here? I leave my family, I leave my children in order to work here." But God has a beautiful plan for you, for every one of us, and for every one of us who are here. And we need to trust the plan of God for our lives. I remember during my second year high school, my older sister had a beautiful plan by saying, "You know, you've been transferring from one school to another. I invite you together with my husband, because she and her husband is going back to a rural area and they will establish a business. And they said, come live with us. Just help us in our business and then you can continue your studies. And we will take care of you so that you don't have to transfer one year after another." I said, that's a very good plan. I joined them. The first month, before classes started, I was working. They started a business, and it was doing good. The second month, I enrolled, and I was beginning my class. But after that second month, my sister and my brother-in-law had a big quarrel, big fight, that my brother-in-law left the home, and my sister also left the place. And I was left in the house. I said, what will I do here? But you see, because I was holding on to the plan of God, our neighbors, whom I do not know, says, come and stay with us. Let us be your foster family. Amen? And you know what? That is like the experience of Joseph when he was sold by his brothers. I think I had that Joseph experience in me, that I was there. But as I was staying with that family, you know, God has a beautiful plan, because as I observed them, as they fostered me, every night after dinner, after we eat, then all of the children will go to a little nook, little corner, little table, and they will do their studies. The first few days, I was just observing them. But then later on, I developed to have my own study habits. Because all of the children from the first grade until high school, they are all first honor. Because the family has that kind of discipline and study habit. And it's not yet too late in my life. I learned my study habits while staying with them. And God says, you know, I could have said, yes, it was another setback in my life. But God has a beautiful plan, because that was a turning point in developing my study habits, and I became a better student after that. When strangers took care of me, when neighbors took care of me. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, He wants to give us life, enjoy life. I came that you may have life and enjoy that life, have that life abundantly. We need to hold on. Or we need to trust the plan of God for our lives. And then finally, verse 11 to 14. In order for us to enjoy the good future, we need to have letter 8, verse 15 to 17. We need to hold on to God's protection. If anyone steals a strife, it's not from me, God says. Whoever steals a strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No one will be allowed to defeat the people of God, because even the enemies are under the control of God. And look at verse 17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. You see, peace and safety are the heritage of those who trust in the Lord. The protection of God is with us. During the time that there was slavery in Scotland, Robert Bruce from Scotland is an emancipator of slaves. And because of that, he had enemies. The slave owners are really angry with him, and they want to kill him. One time he was being pursued by his enemies, and as he is running so fast, but later on as he was running, he looked around and it was just an open field. He says, if I run as fast as I can, later on they will be able to catch up with me. And he was tired, he was there, and says, God, I'm already tired. Then he remembered Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And as he was standing there, he saw a little mound. He tried to remove the ivy, you know. And when he looked, there was a little cave. He was able to go inside. It's not too large a cave, but enough for him to hide. And in the providence of God, as soon as he entered that little cave, God sent a spider to build a beautiful spider the spider's web in the mouth of the king. And so he was there resting. Later on, the pursuers came. And as they look at the horizon, there was no one anymore that they can see running. Then one of them, with his sword, look and he says, "Wow, there's a little cave here. He must be inside." But the team leader said, "No, no. Common sense, common sense. It's impossible for him to be there. Why? Look at that beautiful spider's web. How can he be inside there?" What they didn't know, it's brand new. And the leader said, "Maybe he has run faster. So let's go. Let's pursue him. Let's run after him." So after that, after they have gone, then he came out and made this declaration. He says, "Where God is, a spider's web is like a wall." Okay? At least you can listen. "Where God is," he said, "a spider's web is like a wall." Can you imagine that? How that spider's web was used as a fortress for him. And then he also said, "Where God is not, your wall is like a spider's web." Take away God in your life, and you will be helpless, and you will be defenseless. We need to have the protection of God. Amen. Israel, as a nation, faces a lot of challenges. As I look at the map of Israel, yes, you have the threat from your neighboring countries. The constant threat is there. Not only that, the attacks from Hamas. My wife and I were here a few years ago when the leader of the Hamas was killed, and there about 200 rockets are being shot in Israel. But the Iron Dome, that's the protection. And then you have now here the threat from Iran after that nuclear deal. And the local violence. Last Monday when I was talking with Dr. Stephen, who is senior advisor of Prime Minister Netanyahu, I told him about my experience about that bombing when we were here 3 years ago. And he said, and I told him, "I appreciate your Iron Dome." And you know what Dr. Stephen told me? "You know, as a Jew, I can say that that Iron Dome is a miracle." Although he was quick to say, but because the standard for miracle among Israel is too high, it's short of a miracle, but still a miracle from God. But you see, this nation is a nation who has experienced the protection and the care of God. And that should be true in our lives today. So, how then do we enjoy the good future ahead of us? Well, the God of the universe is with us. Amen? And because the God of the universe is with us, how should we handle our situation? Number one, forget our past setbacks. Don't dwell on our failures. Don't dwell on our problems. Don't dwell on those difficulties that we have. You may have failed in one class, but you can move forward. You may have failed in your relationship, but you can move forward. Forget our past setbacks. As we forget that past setbacks, we need to appropriate the power of God, the God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord of all, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel is the one who is with us. And then we need to invoke the promises of God. "Though the mountains be shaken, my love for you will not be shaken." The promises of God is always fresh. And then we need to trust the plan of God. There may be some additional setbacks, but don't give up. Continue on looking forward, trusting the beautiful plan of God for our lives. And then finally, we need to hold on to God's protection. Brothers and sisters, the God, the maker of heaven and earth, is with us. He has promised, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What can man do against you?" People of God, we have a bright future. because our God is with us. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your love and your power. And we pray that you would help us as we face so many challenges, threats, and difficulties. We thank you that we can have a bright future because the God of the universe is with us. The maker of heaven and earth promised that you will be with us always till the close of the age. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to rely on you. We thank you for how you would lead us and guide us as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Well, I was really touched by Bishop Dindero's story of how God kept him and provided for him. Tears came to my eyes when I heard how he lost his father at age 10 and how God provided a place, a final, from his sister and then the neighbor. What a wonderful account, what a wonderful testimony of God's provision. Let's all stand. And we want to ask if there are any here who have yet to make the Lord your shepherd, to be able to call this God your God, your everlasting Father.